This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, PSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Thank you. Thank you, Maria. This is Johnny Rabbit. Now it's the KMOX Rabbit at Your Service show. Until 3 today, Jody Sowell, the new boss of the Missouri Historical Society, will be with us. Father David Suwalski of St. Louis U, about the treasures you can see at the museums there, and some history, too. We'll hear some interesting info from Mike Truax about the 1904 World's Fair. Plus, we'll meet with Cliff Fralick in moments about the history and future of Cinema St. Louis. Always all about the movies. That reminds me, I'm presenting a free movie and theater program in the Lee Auditorium at the Missouri History Museum a week from Tuesday, November 15th. And doors open at 10:30. We'll have live music by members of the group Fanfare. That organization's been around for 40 years in St. Louis. Well, movies are better than ever was the big advertising slogan of the movie industry that came about when movie makers realized that people were staying home to watch TV for free rather than having to go out and pay to get into the movies. In some cases, but not all, movies did get better. They certainly got bigger with CinemaScope, Todd AO, Panavision, VistaVision, even Cinerama, plus 3D, too. But across America, movie houses fell like dominoes, especially the neighborhood theaters, such as some of them you may remember in the St. Louis area, the Ritz, O'Fallon, Rivoli, Merry Widow, Jim, Roxy, the Grand and Alton, Columbian, Northside, Pauline, Shenandoah, Washington, and Granite City, Michigan, and literally dozens more. But most of the movie studios managed to meet the competition and created a greater variety of films. And in St. Louis, we are so fortunate to have Cinema St. Louis as an important organization that respects and pays tribute to both the movies and their audiences. And we have from Cinema St. Louis, well, almost from, because you've retired, Cliff Fralick. Hello, Cliff.
Hey, Johnny. Happy to be here.
Oh, I'm so glad you are here as our first visitor today. Cinema St. Louis. Well, I'm sure people have heard about it, but there may be people who don't know. Okay, what is Cinema St. Louis? What does it mean?
Indeed, unfortunately, a lot of people have not heard of Cinema St. Louis, even though we've been around for 31 years at this point. It's always been a frustration, and you have to sort of reintroduce yourself every year when we do the St. Louis International Film Festival. That's our big event, and in fact, the organization was founded. It was originally the St. Louis Film Festival, period. Mm. And that was the only event that the organization did. But over the years, we've rebranded that buzzword that is so famous nowadays.
That it is.
We decided that we wanted to expand our portfolio, have more than just the St. Louis International Film Festival. And so we called ourselves Cinema St. Louis. That took place about 20 years ago. And then we slowly added a whole range of other kinds of programming during the course of the year. We picked up an event that took place for just 1 year called the St. Louis Filmmaker Showcase that was presented by the St. Louis Film Office. It's really a terrific event focusing attention on local filmmakers and those who have local connections but are working elsewhere. And then the St. Louis Film Office promptly went out of business.
Oh.
So rather than let that die, we picked it up, and Cinema St. Louis has now been doing it for more than 20 years. So
we've
obviously carried the ball a long
sure
ways.
Have.
And then we added a classic French film festival, a LGBTQ-focused festival called Q-Fest St. Louis. We have another event called Golden Anniversaries that celebrates films on their 50th anniversary, in which we have, just like our classic French film festival, we have people introduce and then discuss the films. And then we do, over the years, we've done other things as well. We presented back in 2011 Vincentennial, which was a celebration, obviously, of Vincent Price from St. Louis on his 100th, what would have been his 100th birthday. And we, for many years, were the local producers of the 48-Hour Film Project. And then we do...
What is that?
48-Hour Film Project continues. It's now not under our auspices, but it continues. Oh. It's a national organization.
Oh.
You create a film in 48 hours, start to finish, and you have no way of really pre-planning because you don't know what the genre is going to be. And then they force you to incorporate a line, a character, and a prop into whatever it is you create. And you have to do it literally start to finish 48 hours. It's a lot of fun, and we enjoyed being a part of it. And it's always possible that we'll, you know, become the local producers again. But right around the time of the pandemic, we decided that it was probably not something that was going to be viable for a while, and so we withdrew.
Now, we've talked about the 31 years ago, and then it became Cinema St. Louis 20 years ago. You've been there how long?
A total of 19 years. However, it's always more complicated than it should be. I came from the world of journalism. I was at the Riverfront Times, so the local alt weekly, for many, many years, actually somewhere on the order of 18 years, starting as a film critic, but then becoming an editor. But at a certain point, I grew disenchanted with some changes that were taking place at the paper. It had been purchased by a large national chain called New Times at that stage. And I was looking to do something else, and thankfully, the film festival was looking for an executive director, and so I applied. I had also, in addition to having film knowledge, I had helped co-found a humane society, the Metro East Humane Society, so I had not-for-profit experience.
Mm-hmm.
So I did it for a couple of years back in 2001, 2002, and then got lured back into the world of journalism. The Post-Dispatch asked me to apply for the arts and entertainment editor position.
Did that for a couple of years?
Three years. So I did it for 3 years. Wasn't the best time to go into daily journalism, quite frankly. And just as the RFT had been purchased by New Times, while I was at the Post, they were purchased by Lee Enterprises from Pulitzer. And I just decided that I needed to make a change. And again, the festival was interested in having me back. So in 2006, I returned and I was there all the way up until my retirement at the end of June.
Now, you still would do writing for like St. Louis Magazine or other publications?
Over the years, I have freelanced for the Riverfront Times, for the Post-Dispatch. I'm old enough that I even did a little freelance work for the Globe Democrat before it finally expired. It was in its last iteration at that point.
Right.
And yes, St. Louis Magazine, I was, while I was the editor, the executive editor at the RFT, I was also the managing editor at St. Louis Magazine, because both were published by Hartman Publishing, Ray Hartman.
Sure. Ray Hartman, sure.
And he had control of both publications, and he believed in getting the maximum amount of effort out of everybody who worked for him. So I ended up being managing editor of St. Louis Magazine and helping relaunch it, and executive editor of the RFT at the same time. So yes, I continue to write for a variety of places, including The Common Reader. Washington University has a journal of essays. Gerald Early, a really terrific essayist himself, is the editor of that. So I appear periodically.
What are your subjects? Do you have
primarily film, but I, for example, several years back, I wrote about the animal population at my house. My wife and I have a very large menagerie of animals. It's waxed and waned. Right now we have, and it's always appalling when I tell people this, 2 dogs. That's reasonable.
That's not bad.
And 15 cats.
That's bad.
And it's 15. A non-reproducing population. Non-reproducing population, mind you. They're all spayed or neutered, and we are on 3 acres. They can go in and out at will. So it's not as overwhelming as you might envision. But it can be pretty overwhelming.
It can be.
So anyway, I wrote an essay about that. But I have a piece upcoming, I think, in December about the films of Howard Hawks, specifically focused on his aviation films. He did 5 aviation films, only 4 of which are actually available. But one was lost.
Which one was lost?
It's a silent, and now I'm going to challenge me.
I'm going to blank
on the name of
silent,
it.
Silent, you know.
But it was, it's no longer available. So even if I told you the name, it would
who
do
knows?
You no good.
The operation, your previous operation, full time there, Cinema St. Louis, is right up the street from us at 3547 Olive Street in the old, Knights of Columbus Building, Machinist Hall. I think there'd been a dance studio in there at one time.
Yeah, there were a lot of things in there. Apparently, there were rumors that in that building there was also a house of ill repute. I don't know how accurate that was, but at some point that was a rumor that was floated. And I'd like to believe that it's true. It's in Grand Center, and that's sort of hub. It's just our office space. We obviously are dependent on presenting films elsewhere. If you look on Google, of course, it'll identify that location as being a movie theater. It is not.
But you do have a theater in it.
There is a beautiful space that we do use for our trivia nights. And you can do dance recitals and theatrical presentations, concerts. And we have used it for some very modest film presentation, but it's got acoustical issues that you would not really want to use it as a full-fledged theater. And it also some light bleed issues, things of that nature. We want perfection when
we
show
a film. That's right,
of
course. Why not?
So we make certain that we find venues that can fully meet our expectations.
Now, that building is now known as the Centene Center for the Arts.
That's correct. There's a whole range of small to mid-sized arts operations that call at home, and we've been very pleased to be there for some time. Arts and Education Council is the landlord. So they give us below market rates.
Oh, good. Well, that's good.
We have benefited enormously over the years from being located there. And it's also helps with collaboration.
Sure.
We obviously interact periodically with people who are our neighbors, and that leads to occasionally co-presentations.
You're listening to Cliff Frolic. He is from Cinema St. Louis. We're going to talk more with him about various other things in the next few minutes. We've got more guests on the way between now and 3 o'clock this afternoon. This is Johnny Rabbit at your service.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
Out here, we feel things. The sore calves that lead to epic views, the cool waterfall mist during a hot hike, and the breeze that hits just right at the summit. But hey, don't just listen to us. Experience it for yourself. All Trails makes it easy to discover the best of the outdoors. With more than 450,000 trails around the world, points of interest along the trail, and offline maps for always-on navigation. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
And this is Johnny Rabbit. We are at your service. We are with Cliff Freilich, and what a day he's going to have. This is just the start of his, well, maybe not even the start. This is the midday, and you're going to go see three movies?
That's right. Now that I'm retired as executive director, I don't have to worry about running the show. I can just sit back and enjoy the show, which is always a pleasure when I go visit other film festivals and see everybody else running around with like chickens with their head cut off. Relax in my seat.
So you'll be at the Plaza Frontenac, and they have several screenings of different movies today.
Right. They are going to be at Plaza Frontenac all the way through November 13th.
And you have other venues, too. Not just
That's
there.
Correct. There are two screens through Wednesday at the Galleria. That's a venue that is... they did use it for Q-Fest earlier in the year, but that's a reasonably fresh venue for us. And then we're also at Washington University at Brown Hall and at Webster University at Winifred Moore Auditorium. And then we have occasional presentations. It's not every day, clustered on the weekends primarily at SIUE, Southern Illinois University, Edwardsville, and then also at the Contemporary Art Museum, St. Louis, and... right nearby here at KMOX at the St. Louis Public Library.
Oh, right across the street.
We're doing on Saturdays and Sundays at 1:30, Golden Anniversaries presentations, several films celebrating their 50th anniversary. And those are free.
They are at the library. I like the sound of that. Free. When is that again?
Those are on Saturday and Sunday, both weekends, so you can still catch one. Well, you can't do it. It's just about ready to start, 1:30. Next Saturday and Sunday, assuming you're not working on one of those days.
I hope not. And you also do some teaching. It's still at Webster University.
I am. I am in my 39th year as an adjunct professor of film studies at Webster University. I'm teaching a course on Alfred Hitchcock right now.
Oh, my gosh. That's great.
Going to be showing Vertigo this week and discussing a film by a Hitchcock acolyte, Brian De Palma, Sisters, which I showed last week.
Big class. How many people attend the classes that, for example, to see one of the movies?
It varies depending on the class that I'm teaching. This is a relatively small crew, about 10 people, but we cap it at 25. And I have had any number of classes that reach that level.
Now, is there any truth to the rumor that you're going to reopen the Orpheum Theater at 9th and St. Charles?
No, I'm afraid not.
Darn it. I'm just trying to find somebody that could do it. What a beautiful theater that is.
There is some movement afoot. Cinema St. Louis wants to find a permanent home, and so there may be an announcement that I cannot reveal.
Oh, I understand.
In the not-too-distant future about plans along those lines.
Great. Well, if we keep in tune with
so
that.
So I'll just tantalize you with that. So
you
keep
have
your
done
eyes
so.
On the website, cinemastlouis.org.
Yeah, Cinema St. Louis, but spell out STLOUIS.
That's correct.
CinemaStLouis.org. And if you want to, how long is the festival still going on for a few more days?
More than a few more days. It goes all the way through next Sunday, November 13th.
So you can
I'll put it, I should be modest and not say this, but they are giving me a tribute program.
I know.
On Saturday, November 12th at Webster University. Which is appropriate given my long-term relationship with
at
Webster.
Winifred Moore Auditorium is a great place to see a movie.
Right. So if you're interested in that, hear me gas on, much akin to what I'm doing now. But also, we're going to be showing one of my absolute favorite films by one of my favorite directors.
Howard
starring
Hawks.
One of my favorite actors, Cary Grant, and that's His Girl Friday.
Yeah, what a movie. With Rosalind Russell, Ralph Bellamy, and that's going to be at 7 o'clock next this coming Saturday, the 12th.
That's correct.
Is there a charge for this?
Oh, yes, there's a charge. It's actually a fundraiser for Cinema St. Louis. So, but it's cheap at any cost.
Good.
It's $15.
Good.
And then if somebody wants to attend a little reception that takes place at 6 o'clock, you can inquire about that. That's a little bit more expensive because you get some free beer and wine.
His Girl Friday, based on the front page from 1928, I believe. Really a fine movie. And Howard Hawks, as you said, what a great guy. What a great director. Volunteers. Do you use volunteers or is it all paid staff?
We use many volunteers. The paid staff is actually quite small. Right now there's only 3 full-time staff members. There are people who are brought on specifically for the festival to do driving and handle our venues for us, to do projection. But mostly, it's 3 full-time people right now. I hope we'll be expanding the staff shortly. We have as many as 2 to 250 volunteers during any festival because we have a lot of places that we're at simultaneously, and we can only be at so many. So, we're absolutely dependent on our volunteers.
How do people volunteer? Just go to the website
go to the website. You'll find all sorts of information about how to sign up. And not only do you get to do something for a good nonprofit, but in addition, you get to see some free movies.
Do you have all your 15 cats have names?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, my gosh.
They all have multiple names, quite frankly.
Oh, okay. Well, Cliff Raelich, thank you.
Sure, thank you.
Thanks very much. Cliff Raelich, on behalf of our KMOX listeners, I do thank you as well for all that you have done and are going to continue to do. I know we will be hearing more from you about that interesting tidbit that you said we're going to hear. How soon do you think it'll be?
Probably by the end of the year.
Aha, okay. We'll be watching and listening. It's 1:27 now, and this is Johnny Rabbit at your service at KMOX. Here we are. This is Johnny Rabbit. We are at your service. It's 1:32. Mike Truax is with us. You may know that name if you know about the World's Fair. He is keeping the mighty World's Fair alive, the 1904 St. Louis World's Fair Louisiana Purchase Exposition. So good of you to be here, Mike. I thank you very much. You look just... Is that a costume you would have worn and if you were at the World's Fair performing somewhere, the Tyrolean Alps?
Well, the World's Fair brought together people from so many different countries. There are a lot of people in strange outfits there, from Indians to people dressed up from the Mideast, and, of course, different European countries. And there were a lot of concessions that did have performers and actors in costume.
I imagine there are a lot of photographs, I know, of the fair. Where are the photographs displayed? Where can people really see some good photographs of the fair?
Well, the two best sources for images from the 1904 World's Fair are at the Missouri History Museum, of course. You can go to their website and, with a little bit of searching, drill down to a directory where they have, I think, 700 or 800 very good images from the World's Fair. And also the St. Louis Public Library, about 15 or 20 years ago, found out that they had almost 7,000 8x10-inch glass plate negatives from the World's Fair.
How many did you say?
7,000.
7,000?
And
can you see those?
Yes, they have been professionally scanned into what I would call high-resolution digital. And if you drill down on their website, slpl.org, to their Louisiana Purchase Exposition images, you can search for various words like construction or festival hall or Ferris wheel and just see some images that in detail when you zoom in will blow you away.
That's great. Now, do you show these anywhere? Do you have some of these that you have that an ongoing presentation like going to the History Museum or wherever to show X amount of photographs?
Yes, we do. They are, of course, accessible to the public, but I've incorporated many of those images into various presentations I give about the overview of the World's Fair or about sculpture at the World's Fair. We've given a lengthy presentation a couple times at the History Museum about the Ferris wheel and what happened to it after the fair and what happened to the axle.
Okay, what happened to it?
Well, for a long time, there was an urban legend that the axle was left behind and buried. It was 32 inches in diameter, 45 feet long, and weighed 70 tons.
Oh.
The owners of the Ferris wheel had brought the Ferris wheel to St. Louis from Chicago, where it was first put up for their World's Fair in 1893. And they brought it down here, I think, on 175 rail cars and re-erected it. They operated it during the fair, and the World's Fair Company gave them some money up front to do so. But it was in the edge of Forest Park, right along Skinker, by the Library and Research Center.
That's the Library and Research Center for the Missouri Historical Society.
Correct, right on the golf course there. And the agreement with the city to use that portion of Forest Park was they would build a permanent art museum, and they would remove everything after the fair and turn it back into a park. So the Ferris wheel had to go, and the Chicago House Wrecking Company owned it. They tried to sell it to some other amusement parks. It obviously couldn't stay where it was. And on May 1906, they blew the whole Ferris wheel up with 100 pounds of dynamite for scrap. That made it easy to cut up all the pieces of metal and take them away. The axle was, though, hardened steel, and it was worth quite a bit of money back then. And documentation from that family-owned company has been found. And in fact, just within the last year or so, a newspaper report from late 1906, early 1907, described it being taken back to Chicago, where it stayed in, quote, their yard until the torches got better to cut up that hardened steel in about 1918 or so.
Interesting. So now the myth is over with. Now, what about that observation wheel? I don't think we can see it from here over there at Union Station. How did that compare in size to the World's Fair wheel?
Well, the St. Louis Fair or St. Louis wheel at Union Station is about 200 feet high, whereas the observation or Ferris wheel at the World's Fair was 264 feet high. So it was about 80% of the height.
Mm-hmm.
But the difference was in the cars and what it could carry. The St. Louis wheel has about 40 cars and can carry about 300 people or something like that if you fill all the cars up. The 1904 Ferris wheel had cars that were 17 by 26 feet long.
My gosh.
That's the size of a reasonable-sized family room dining area.
Sure is.
If you're in a place with ceiling tiles, you can count ceiling tiles, and they're about 2 feet by 2 feet usually. And when you see that size, they could easily fit 50 or 60 people in them, but they usually only put about 30 or 40 in them. And the capacity was over 2,000. Each car, though, was made on a steel I-beam framework and held up lengthwise in between the two giant wheels. And although they only filled it up with 20 or 30 people at a time, taking you up 240 feet, each car weighed 13 tons.
Wow. What great statistics that always continue to come out of the fair. And as always, the amazingly active 1904 World's Fair Society has come up with something new to many, and that's a certain type of artwork of a man named August Gerber. Who was August Gerber, and what did he do?
Well, August Gerber was a German sculptor, and in the late 1800s or so, it became fashionable to make copies of German and European statues of mythological and historical figures with a resin of some sort, and then they could pour another resin into that mold and make a replication of a, you know, famous statue, and they could take that wherever they want. They could make two or three copies of it. He made copies of probably 80 to 100 different statues in Germany and brought them to the World's Fair, where they were displayed in many different buildings. After the fair, they weren't worth a whole lot since they weren't the originals. They were copies. And a man named Louis Hauck acquired those statues. He was a benefactor of the Missouri Normal School in Cape Girardeau, Missouri. He purchased those with the intent of giving them to the school, which became a college, now university, called Southeast Missouri State University. And that's where they are to this day, and many of them are on display.
Just around the campus, in buildings, outside?
They have a statuary hall that they use for special events where many of the statues and some of the friezes are displayed. And they've had a kind of up and down history, sometimes being put in basements and stuff for a while.
But what are they made of? I mean, what is the final? You talked about the resin and all that. Is that what it is?
Yes, it's a cast resin that basically looks like a marble stone, but can also be painted. And some of them have been painted, you know, kind of a bronze to look like a bronze sculpture.
Have you seen, have you gone there to look at them?
I have not been able to go see them. I hope to sometime, but there are pictures of them online that can
be. How long have they been? I mean, from the beginning, from 1904 or 5 or 6?
They've been there since the middle of the 1900s, yes.
Wow.
And they got moved to different places. They sometimes got damaged. But they, in the last 20 years, they've been resurrected and restored what they can and, you know, put on very nice display.
Is there a documentary about this, about the Mr. Gerber or his work or the type of work he did?
I don't know of any documentary, but
well, see,
there are
some articles
online.
Well, see, that is something for you to do. Well, you can put something like that together. So if you're going down to SEMO or Cape Girardeau, go look for the statues. They're maybe all over the place. You might just run into one just by walking around.
Well, like I said, most of them, I think, are on display in their academic hall or the statuary hall, which is kind of an event center. It's a used to be a church.
I assume they are in good condition today?
Yes.
Oh, that's great.
The ones on display have been touched up and restored and are in very good condition.
Have any been, these replicas been brought to St. Louis or in any of your events, for example?
No, because they're kind of large and heavy. They're usually larger than life size and valuable and... I think a couple of them were taken up to Columbia and put on display there for a little while, and one or two of them may have made an occasional trip up to the Art Museum.
Now, you have a way that people can see these without going there, coming up this Tuesday, I believe.
Yes, this Tuesday we're having a virtual presentation from Frank Nickel, who was an instructor down at SEMO for over 40 years, and he has researched those extensively. We've been putting together a program, and we'll have a virtual meeting of the 1904 World's Fair Society, one of our monthly meetings, and it'll be on Zoom at 7 p.m. in the evening. You can find out about it either by being a member of the society, and we send you emails and reminders and a link to it, or if you go to Facebook and go to the 1904 World's Fair Society appreciation page, there will be a link posted there later today.
So people, anybody can see this if they want.
Anybody can see that presentation and meeting, yes.
And that is when again? Tuesday?
That'll be Tuesday at 7 p.m. There'll be a link on the Facebook page for the 1904 World's Fair Society and appreciation page.
Now, we're going to take a short break here, Mike, and we're going to come back to talk about something that you have. It's not till December, but... members will be invited and others, and I know you've brought me a document here with some very interesting stuff. You're going to tell me about this big document that has arrived by surprise.
Certainly.
Well, always a surprise. You know, everybody says, why are people interested in the world? Why are people interested in the World's Fair? In your opinion, I'm asked that quite often. What's the deal?
Well, I've been studying the World's Fair for 25 years, and in the last 5 years, I've come across half a dozen substantial things that surprised me that I didn't know before and dug into. For example, maps that we thought were accurate have some inaccuracies because things changed during the fair.
Oh, yeah.
The Cascades, which looked to be very substantial with fountains and statuary on them in front
yes,
of
they did.
Festival Hall, were actually built on pilings so that all the piping, et cetera, and pumps could be put underneath them. And it just kind of blew me away to find out some of those details about the fair.
That is. It's always something new, even though it's really old and getting older all the time. But how many members do you have that are active members in the organization?
In our society of dues-paying people that get our monthly bulletin and come to our meetings, we have about 60 or 70 that come to our meetings. We have almost 300 dues-paying members. And on our Facebook group, we have over 5,000 people.
Yes. Mike Truax of 1904 World's Fair is our subject. We'll get right back to it in the next few minutes with Johnny Rabbit at your service. Here we are at your service. This is Johnny Rabbit. Mike Truax is here about the World's Fair. Now you want people to learn about the World's Fair, but in a special way. You're going to come to them if you have an organization and you want to learn about the fair. Who's going to come to show people about it? You?
I do a lot of it, and we have a couple of other people that will do presentations about the fair. We've done them for schools and church organizations and just social organizations. If you have a group of people that would like to know more about the fair, Give us a call. You can either call me at home. My number is 618-593-0190, or send an email to me. My email is my last name, Truax, T-R-U-A-X, at charter.net.
I'll give you those addresses and the address and the number here in just a moment. But, you have an event. Somebody calls, whoever it may be, a social organization, you said, or whatever. We'd like to hear about the World's Fair. What do you bring?
We will bring a presentation that typically is anywhere from 25 or 30 minutes up to 40 minutes or so.
Pictures, video?
By program, I mean a PowerPoint presentation that we will project on a wall. We can bring a laptop and projector. All we need is a wall and show you pictures of the fair that will amaze most people because they know a little bit about the fair, but not a whole lot. And when you see people putting together the Ferris wheel that are 200 feet up in the air with no safety belts, but they're all wearing hats, you kind of will go, wow, I don't believe that. The size of the buildings will blow you away. And we will show you those pictures, answer questions. We will bring souvenirs and memorabilia from the fair, actually from the World's Fair, for you to see and touch. And the Society, as a nonprofit organization, also sells some merchandise, books, pamphlets, videos about the fair. And that
what about T-shirts and hats? Do you have those? T-shirts, hats?
Oh, yes. T-shirts, big straw hats. Don't have baseball caps at the moment, but we have visors. But polo shirts.
Good. Now, let me give you his number again. He's not there now because he's here, but you can call him at 618-593-0190. 593-0190, area code 618. The email address, Truax, T-R-U-A-X, at charter.net. And maybe you would have this would be a great idea for an event because people want to have something different all the time. And it doesn't have to be a school, doesn't have to be a church, doesn't have to maybe just a neighborhood organization.
All right. We would love to do it to neighborhood organizations or to school-age children who have parents that have of school-age children and interest them in the fair and history. And, yes, we will try to get you to join the society. And the more, after 25 years, the more you learn about the fair, the more you want to learn and just dig deeper and deeper into it. And we want to keep the society going for a very long time and grow the society with more members doing more presentations, et cetera.
Are you getting more members now, more than maybe, say, 10 years ago?
Well, in 1904, we peaked at a very large number for the centennial of the fair, obviously, and it dropped off by the time 1906 or 07 rolled around. Since then, we've been growing slowly but steadily over the last 5 years up to close to 300 members again.
Now, what about collectibles? Things like postcards, books, magazines, programs, things, photos from the fair, medals, things. Gosh, there were so many items that were issued by various organizations that relate to the fair. Where can somebody, if somebody has that, where can they sell them? Are there people who buy these things?
There are people that buy those things. Most of them are common. They were mass-produced souvenirs sold at the fair. And like you said, medals, china, books, booklets, spoons, postcards. And I'd be willing to bet that probably 20% of St. Louisans have one or two pieces of the World's Fair souvenirs at home that have been handed down to them.
I bet.
If you want to know how much they're worth, go look at eBay. There's a whole category, and on a weekly basis, there's well over 100 items for sale, and you can see what things are selling for. But every once in a while, something very unusual comes up, and it will go for, instead of the typical, $25 to $50 or $60, it may go for many hundreds of dollars.
That's interesting. So if you have some of those things and you want to raise a little extra money, there's something you can do. Now, you have something coming up on Saturday, December 3rd. That's at 12:30 in the afternoon, actually on the fairgrounds.
Actually on the fairgrounds this year, yes. The Society has a monthly meeting. We meet at various libraries, sometimes the History Museum, sometimes virtual since COVID. We try to record and save our meetings online. And many of our meetings over the last couple of years can be found on YouTube. If you go to YouTube and you search for 1904 World's Fair Society monthly meetings, you'll find them without any problem. And you can watch those meetings over the last couple of years. But we have two special meetings every year. One is around April 30th, which was opening day of the fair. And we typically have a society picnic in one of the local parks. And on or around December 1st, the closing day of the fair, we have a closing day banquet. And that banquet is to commemorate the closing of the fair, and we commemorate the closing with a kind of a ceremony at the end about the lights going dim and turning out the lights and stuff like that. And it's a catered dinner. Obviously, that has a admission charge and admission fee. Every attendee gets a gift, and we have attendance prizes that are memorabilia from the World's Fair.
So that's going to be at the Norman K. Probstein Golf Course, the clubhouse there. Yes. In Forest Park, easy to find. But what if we're? I'm looking at this map. Mm-hmm. Where was where? What was on that property then? If we go back to the World's Fair, the Probstein Golf Course. What's there today? But tell me what's right there.
Well, if you're driving on Skinker and you turn off of Skinker into the park and go by the golf course clubhouse, that clubhouse was built right on the site of what was the Palace of Machinery at the 1904 World's Fair. Right in the middle of it.
That's right.
And that's where the large generators and turbines would take the steam produced from a coal plant right next door and turn it into electricity that would power the lights and the intramural railroad, a trolley car that ran around the fair, and all the electrical needs for the fair.
So who can come to this? Anybody? But you have to, or do you have to be a member?
You have to be a member to come, yes. So if you go to our website, and our website is www.1904worldsfairsociety.org, there is a membership form there, and you can join, and we can take payment online or over the phone.
What does it cost?
Or by check. It's $25 for a calendar year. Or if you say join now, we'll give you some back issues of the bulletin, and it'll pay for next year for $35.
That sounds like a lot of fun. I know Maureen Jocko, a friend and neighbor, she loves the 1904 World's Fair events.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very pleasant group of people I know who get together, but you're always seeking and have new people coming along from who knows where. Just in St. Louis.
I even invite a certain radio personality occasionally to
really?
Come and see us.
Have you really?
So I'm hoping you can come this year.
Oh, me? Oh, well, maybe I will. You just never know. This is really nice. And I've seen some things being on the board of the Mercantile Library. We have some artifacts there at the library. Do you do any events with the Mercantile Library?
We have occasionally. The Mercantile Library is quite an interesting place. I think they're about 60% library and 40% museum in
True.
A way. And they have a lot of World's Fair exhibits and artifacts there. We've gone out there for a couple of meetings and had presentations about how the Mercantile Library evolved and seen some of their things that they have on exhibit, yes.
Thank you very much for being here, Mike.
Okay. Well,
Mike Truax, all about the 1904 World's Fair. There's a heck of a lot to talk about it, and we haven't even touched it. I mean, there is so much that's there, so much history, so much St. Louis. It's so great to have it all happening, and it happened here. And, of course, Meet Me in St. Louis. What a movie about the fair from 1944.
Absolutely.
Later on at your service with me, Johnny Rabbit and KMOX, we're going to take you to the great campus of St. Louis University, lead you to places that you may have passed, maybe you really have never really looked at. Our guide will be Father David Sawalski. Then at 2:30 today, our guest will be the new president and CEO of the great Missouri Historical Society, Dr. Jody Sowell. But next, we're going to have a little news. We'll take a little break, and then we will be right back and take you to St. Louis University. On KMOX, this is Johnny Rabbit, and we are at your service.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards and which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.